Welcome to all of our listeners. Today, we will begin our goal to finish Shisha Sidri Mishnah, Shas in Mishnayos. And we know that there are six Siddurim, six volumes in Mishnayos. Zram talks about all sorts of planting and, you know, farming, different laws. Nezikin is damages and finding a lost object. Nashim is marriage and divorce, that kind of stuff. Taharis is purity, going to the mikvah, and different things that are defiled or pure, tamei or tar. Zvachim is more of karbanos, talking about the karbanos. And then moed is all the Yom Tovim, Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah. And the idea here is we're just doing two Mishnahs a day. It's 5 minutes a Mishnah, so a total of 10 minutes every day. And if you can commit to 10 minutes a day, every day, you'll finish Shas. Just after the first few months, you already have finished your first Masechta. And really about like a year's time frame, you'll be done with the first Seder. And the goal is to accomplish, you know, it takes about 6 or 7 years to do the whole thing. It's just roughly about a year for each Seder, or a year and change, for each of the Siddurim. And that's with a pace of two Mishnahs a day. So, the idea, of course, is not to get caught up with Shas, oh my gosh, it's so long, it's so big, it's so that. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. Just look at, you know, at the day's work. You know, you have 10 minutes a day, let's do it. Let's do our two Mishnahs. And you really have, you know, whether you're going to work and you're in a car, you're going for a jog, or you're just sitting down for a lunch break, it's really unbelievable when you think about it, what you can do with your time when you put some planning into it. I remember back in my yeshiva days, I learned in Israel under the tutelage of Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg Zatzal. He was one of the Gedolei Hadar. If you look at any of the Gedolim pictures, he's the rabbi with all the tzitzis. He wore a few hundred pairs of tzitzis. No one knows why, but that was what he was famous for. And I remember when they started in 1969, they started the first American yeshiva in Israel. And then, you know, it all just snowballed from there. Now there's tons and tons of yeshivas there in Israel for Americans. But I remember when I was in yeshiva, he turned 100 years old. He passed away when he was about 102, 104. When he turned 100, they brought him up to the Beis Medrash to, you know, give a little speech. And everyone was there. It was packed. I remember very, very clear. And first he was laughing. He was like, I'm 100 years old. And everyone was laughing. And then he started speaking. It was very hard to hear him, but all he was able to speak about was time. He's like, time, time. All he spoke about was time, time, time. What you can do with your time. Just to, you know, to accomplish, not to be on autopilot, but to really look at your day. You know, I wake up at this time. I daven at this time. I eat at this time. What can I do to accomplish? And, you know, setting aside a little bit of time every day to, you know, aim for this goal is very special. You know, I'm in the IRA field, retirement plans. And, you know, if you put a little bit of money away at the end of the year, you buy a few less coffees, you know, you go out to eat a little bit less. You put away money every month and, you know, accumulate it after a year's time, you put it away in an IRA, in a retirement plan. And you do that, not just, you know, for a day, a month, you do it month after month, year after year, consistently. That's the key. The numbers that you can have when you're ready to retire, when you're 60 years old or 59 and a half, you know, if you want to be by the book, the numbers you can have in your IRA are off the charts. I mean, we have clients with hundreds of thousands of dollars in their IRAs, millions of dollars in their IRAs. And it's all about, you know, just starting off small, you know, it's self-discipline and, you know, self-control and putting that money away. And the beauty is, you know, it's compound interest. That's the beauty of compound interest. You put something away and you watch it grow and you add to it and you watch it grow and you keep on doing that. In the beginning, you don't really see much, but as it keeps on going, you turn around and you're like, where did that come from? Like, how do I even have that? Like all of a sudden you're in your 50s, you've got $500,000 in your IRA. Like, how? But, you know, you don't even remember all the places that, you know, that you could have been eating or could have been spending. It's just a matter of, you know, planning, using your brains. So we're going to start our Mishnayos. We're going to be going through with the Pirush of the Kehati. I like the Kehati a lot. It's very clear, very thorough. Anyone that's looking to brush up on their Hebrew, it's excellent. And if you want to follow along, that's even better. And let's begin. So we're going to start out of the six Siddurim. So we said there is Zra'im, Nezikin, Nashim, Taharis, Zvachim, and Moed. We're going to start with Moed. It actually begins with Shabbos, and it's very, very relevant, very nogea, because Shabbos is every week. And in Seder Moed, you go through, there's going to be, let's count. There's Shabbos, Erevin, Pesachim, Shkolim, Yuma, Beitza, Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Tainis, Megillah, and Moed Katan. So there's 11 Masechtas, okay? And there's a whole reason why the order is what it is, but basically we're going to start with Shabbos. Shabbos is the first one because it's so relevant. It's every single week. And also the Torah, when it begins the Mo'ados, the Yom Tovim, it begins with Shabbos. And especially now, we're going to be entering Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. A lot of Moeds coming up. So it's very apropos to start with Moed. And it's very relevant. There are things that we'll learn that are just, you know, you'll see them every week in your Shabbosim. We're on the very, very first page. We're going to do the Psicha, the introduction to the Masechta. So if you have a Mishnayos Kehati in front of you, you're invited to follow along. And the Psicha is quite long. You know, we're going to go through a number of different concepts. The idea is not to get caught up on all the different concepts. Just, you know, hear the basics. And as we go through the Masechta, you know, we'll hone in on each concept and explain it with greater detail. But now we're just doing a summary of what we're going to be learning. So let's begin. We're not even going to start the Mishnayos today because the introduction is quite long. But we'll just get to the end of it, and then tomorrow we'll begin the first parak. Okay. Psicha l'masechta Shabbos, the introduction to Masechta Shabbos. The pasuk says, we're all familiar, Sheishas yamim ta'avod v'ashisa kamalachtecha v'yom ha'shvi'i Shabbos l'ashem l'kecha l'osasa kamalacha. That 6 days you're going to work, right? And on the seventh day will be Shabbos, don't do any work. So, here we go. Ha'malachos ha'asuros b'Shabbos, the malachos, the laws, the acts that are prohibited on Shabbos, hein ikar inyanei shal mesechteinu. They're the ikar inyan, major topic of our mesechta. Shloshim v'teishim malachos. There are 39 laws. Hugduru ayde chachamim ki avos malachos. The sages set the 39 laws of Shabbos, the 39 malachos, as the avos malachos. We'll see that there's something called an av and a tolda, like a father and a son. Every malacha has an av and a tolda. And we'll see what all the nafka minas, the halachic ramifications will be once we begin the Masechta. But again, we're just doing a very, very, you know, brief summary over here. V'hainu ha-malachos ha-yikaros ha-asuros b'Shabbos, the main malachos that are prohibited on Shabbos. Shmihen l'meidim al-shar malachos ha-domos lahen, that we'll learn about all different types of malachos that are called toldos, the sons. Like you'll have, you know, plowing with an ox as an av, as the father, and then schlepping a bench and making a furrow in the ground would be a tolda, the son. That's like an av and a tolda, is a classic example. Okay, Brahma, however, av a tolda is dinan kavos. The tolda is very similar to the av. What exactly the difference is, we'll explain later on. But the idea is that it's separated between an av and a tolda. Like the ox plowing on Shabbos would be the father. The son would be, you know, a guy schlepping a bench and making a furrow in the ground. Shloshim v'tisha avos ha-malachos mikaron v'smichos parshas Shabbos v'parshas malachos ha-mishkan. So where do these 39 laws come from? It comes from the smichos, the fact that the laws of Shabbos, the parsha of Shabbos, is very close to the construction of the mishkan, of the tabernacle. So kach nisvach haShabbos amlechas haMishkan lo manu. She'em lechas haMishkan dochas haShabbos. Why is Shabbos near the Mishkan in the Torah? To teach you that despite the holiness of the Mishkan, the laws of Shabbos do not push off. I'm sorry. The laws of Shabbos will not. The Mishkan is not docha Shabbos. So if you have to do something in the Mishkan and it's Shabbos, you can't do it. He's going to go through the examples now. Whatever malacha, whatever task they did in the Mishkan during the week, whatever they did when it came to Shabbos, they couldn't do it. And this is where we learn out all the laws. These 39 laws, who's chayv on it? They come from the fact that when you look in the Mishkan, whatever they would have done in the Mishkan, okay? So they couldn't do that on Shabbos. The Mishkan work stopped on Shabbos. So these are the things you can't do on a regular Shabbos. For example, Zriya, right? They used to plant. They used to plant samanim, dyes, to dye the tchelas and the skins of the rams to make for the paroches, for the Kodesh Kedoshim. So we don't dye on Shabbos. Now, I don't know what no one's planting, but a practical example is, you know, can I dip my napkin, you know, with intention into the grape juice because I want it to be purple? That would be dyeing. So that's the idea. You can't do that. You don't plant on Shabbos. Or Katsira, you don't harvest. Right? We don't harvest. So no one's going around with a sickle and harvesting. But hey, can I pick out a flower for my wife on Shabbos from the ground? You can't do that. So it says, Lo Sikhtru. Hein Helo is a crushing Mikarkala Gala. Right? They carry the beams from the ground to the wagons to transport them. You can't go from a public domain to a private domain carrying something. So that's, you know, carrying on Shabbos. Mikan gam higdu chachamim, the sages also made a gedder, a fence. Shehamalacha shayis chashuva b'mishkan hinikras av. The real important malachas in the Mishkan were called an av. And the things that were not so chashuv in the Mishkan, they were called a tolda. So this is where we have the av and tolda relationship. Mikal malkum, nevertheless, avos hamalachos v'chein tolda hussein, the avs and the toldas, they're both asar on Shabbos min haTorah. V'over alachas mehen, if you, you know, are over, if you sin, if you did it on purpose, b'mezid, b'fnei edim, and two people warned you, they said, hey Bob, don't do that. And you said, I don't care. And they warned you. V'husru bo, shelo lava, don't do it. And you said, I don't care, you did it anyway. And you chayev skila, then, you know, they stone you. Lak shmak. V'lo yisubo, but there was no hasra, then you chayev karis, which is also very severe. You don't want to do these things. You don't want to be mechal Shabbos. This is why we're learning all about the laws of Shabbos. But over Allah b'shogeg, if you did it by mistake, you have a carbon chatas, so you have to bring a carbon. And the whole idea of a carbon, you know, is that when we look at that animal being slaughtered on the Mishkan, you know, we say to ourselves, wow, that could have been me on the Mishkan being slaughtered. And it brings someone to wakes them up to do tshuva. What's the difference between an av and a toda? We'll explain it later on in our Mishnah, in Perek Zion. So, you know, just get the... just touching the tip of the iceberg. So the Mishnah is, from all the different 39 malachos, it opens up with carrying from one rishus to another. Carrying your tie, you're wearing it, but, you know, holding something in your hand. Can you push a carriage on Shabbos if there's no Erev? You know, can you carry, food from one neighbor to the other? So this is what we'll be talking about. Shebehem hi mosifa od la'asok harbi b'prakim. We'll be talking all about it. Af shemalachos zun nimnas achrona b'rishimas avos hamalachos. Even though this is really talked about at the end, we discussed it in the beginning. The reason is because there are many, many, you know, l'fisha harbi inyani Shabbos tuli b'malachos zun. Many, many things are dependent upon carrying. We're constantly moving on Shabbos. So even though it's really not mentioned till later on, we speak about it now because it's so, so relevant. Shekin kolala si, there's different categories. There's hotsam, rishus hayachad, rishus rabim, carrying from a private domain, rishus hayachad, a private domain, rishus harabim to a public domain, hachnasa, rishus rabim, rishus hayachad, or the other way around, from a public domain to a private domain. whether you're Zrigi, you throw something, Hoshata, you stick out your hand, Ha'avara, you pass it, you know, that four amos in Erush Harabim. Four amos is about 8 feet. And again, we're going to discuss this all at length later on. This is just a pesicha. Lahazbir Isser Ha'utzam, Erushus L'Erushus, Nishna B'Braisa, to explain the laws of carrying from one Erushus to another, the Braisa teaches. Arba Rishus L'Shabbos, there are four types of domains. Rishus HaYachid, a private domain. Rishus HaRabim, a public domain. A Karmelis, we're going to explain what this Karmelis is. And then a Makam Patur, a place which is like no man's land. Ezu, what is Rishus HaYachid? Rishus HaYachid is a charetz, a furrow. Shu Amak Asaretz, 10 Tfachim deep. Tefach is about a fist. So 10 fists is about, I don't know, so let's say 2 feet and change. So a Rishus HaYachid would be 10 tefachim deep and then 4 tefachim wide. So that is the minimum shiur, the smallest amount to be domain, to be considered a domain. 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide. And this, the same is true if it's, you know, if you're going above ground. You have a fence, b'chin geder, a fence. Shugavoa asar, it's 10 tefachim tall. V'rachav arba'an, 4 tefachim wide. So it doesn't matter whether it's in the ground or above the ground. This is Rishus HaYachid. Okay. Skip the parentheses. V'ezehu Rishus HaRabim, what's a public domain? So either a sratya, what's a sratya? It's a place where, you know, you're transporting from city to city. Or a platya is also a the main marketplace of the city. Nowadays we, you know, translate it as like as a major, major highway when you have, I believe, it's 600,000 people going on it every single day. That's a Rishus HaRabim. It's quite a, it's not so easy to find a real Rishus HaRabim nowadays. But I believe in Brooklyn there's a problem with the Erev there because there is considered Rishus HaRabim, but ask your LOR, you know, about that. The idea is that it's a public domain, you know, either a major marketplace or a major path from city to city. Umuvos hamufulashin. Also, you know, it's it says here the streets of the city that are 16 feet wide. Those it was very, very big, open on either end, and major, major, you know, a lot of people passing through it. That'll be Rosh Hashanah. So the law is Ein Motzin Mirushus Yachad Zu L'Shrabim Zu. We just turn the page. If you're in the mini Mishnayos, so you can't transport from a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, to a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, or the other way around. Okay. Now Vim Hotzi V'Hechlis, if you did it. So again, if you did it with Shogi by mistake, you Chayav Chatas, a carbon Chatas. If you did it with Mezid, so you Chayav Kares. Unless you were warned, you know, by two Edim, then you Chayav Skila. Aval Yam, an ocean, or Bika, a valley, Mekomos, a smuch, that are places that are near Rosh Hashanah. She ain't a Rabim Bokim Behem. The people aren't hanging out there. It's just like, you know, it's a really big open area nearby. Or Bechin, Kamakam Sheshtach, or Arba al Arba. Any place that is four Tzvachim by four Tzvachim, and it's surrounded by Mechitzos, by walls, that have a height of at least 10 Tzvachim, and not less than 3 Tzvachim, okay? All of these Kiyotzbehem are called a Karmelis. So a Karmelis, it's Ein Dina, it's not like Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and it's not like Rosh Hashanah Rabim. The Chachamim Asru Lahotzi Mitocha, the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Oy Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the Rabbanan prohibited to transport an item from one domain to the next, from a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or a Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or to bring in Lahachnes Latocha from Rosh Hashanah or from Rosh Hashanah into the Karmelis, they asked it. They looked at it as a domain. Can't ask Latatal Batocha, and you can't move things within it more than Dal Ramos, just like in Rosh Hashanah, right? If there's no Erev and you have something in your hand, the most you can move is 4 Amos, nothing more than that. You don't have to stay still. You could move around a little bit, but not more than 4 Amos. So the Karmelis is like, you know, this is an abandoned valley, or an ocean, that would be a Karmelis. But here, as opposed to by Roshus Yachid and Roshus Rabim, where the Isser was on a Torah level, these are rabbinic, you know, areas. So a person who does carry these areas or from one domain to another, he's putted from Misa or from a Karban Chatas. He sins, but it's not as stringent. Okay. Why is it called a Karmelis? Hashem Karmelis, Yesh Mefarshim, those explain to Lashon Ki Armelis, like a Ki Armelis, like a widow. Why? She'en lo basulav lo nesua. She's not a virgin and she's not married. She's like just a widow. So to a Karmelis, it's not a Rosh Yachid and it's not a Rosh Rabim. It's just like an in-between. Yesh Mefarshim, those explain Lashon Karmel, Pirushu B'derech Notriko, and you explain it like a Notriko, like it's like a compound of words. Karmelis would be like kar backwards is rach, soft, and then melis, mully is full. Hainu, it's not lo lach, lo yaveh. It's not moist, not dry. It's not narosh yachad, narosh rabbah, meaning it's like a no man's land. It's like an in between. Okay, so we discussed a Rishus Rabim, a Rishus Yachid, a Karmelis, and now we'll discuss a Makom Patur, like the no man's land. What's Makom Patur? Hainu Makom Rishus Rabim, place in the Rishus Rabim, she'ein bo arba al arba tfachim. It's not even four tfachim by four tfachim, and its height, the gavoa, v'shloshu tfachim l'mala. And it's not even three tfachim tall. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. It is three tefachim. It's three tefachim tall and up, but it doesn't even have 4x4. V'chein shetach a space she'ein bo arba al bar, or a space doesn't have 4x4 tefachim, and it's surrounded by mechitzos. So the idea here is, even though there's mechitzos, there's walls, and the walls can be 10 tefachim tall, the fact that this area does not have four tefachim by four tefachim, it's so small, it's permitted mutul lahotzi mimakom patur l'Rishus Rabim. You could transport an item from this area into Rishus Rabim and into Rishus Yachid, and so to v'chein l'hachlas, to bring in from Rishus Rabim and from Rishus Yachid l'tocho into it. So it's just such a small area, it's like it just doesn't even count. Well, again, we'll discuss it more at length once we begin the Mishnayos. Gam Avirish Rabim Lamala Measar Tfachim Humakum Patur, the airspace on top of it is also like a no man's land. Bram, however, Avir, the airspace of Rosh Yachid is Dino Rosh Yachid up to the heavens. So, you know, the airspace in a Makum Patur, the place that doesn't have four tfachim by four tfachim, is nothing. Whereas the airspace in a Rosh Yachid, in a private domain, goes all the way up to the heavens. It's a private domain. So we'll explain this more at length once we begin the Mishnayos, but the idea here is that it's an area that's not 4x4 tefachim, and it's got at least 3 tefachim of height. Okay? Now, aside for the Isser of Melechas, of the laws of Shabbos, Yeshna Meshabbos Isurim, there are also Medivrei Sofrim, there are rabbinic Isurim that are called the Isuri Shavus. Shavus means like to rest, like Shabbos. So the rabbis made a Shavus, a rabbinic prohibition. Or isuri muktza, things that are muktza, chin isuri machmas uvdin dechol, things that are uvdin dechol. So let's explain these three concepts: the shvus, muktza, and uvdin dechol. So it says in the Torah, ubayom hashvi tishbos, on the seventh day you will rest. Pedoshu chacham, the sages darshan, afilu medvaram she'ena malacha chayev ata lishvus mehem. Even things that are not a malacha, you're not. Well, see what this is. You still have to rest. Mikan asu chachamim harbe. The sages prohibited a lot of things. Harbe dvarim mishum shvus, because of this concept of shvus, to rest. In order, kadeshi shabbos yom shvisa menucha shleima. It should be a day of pure menucha and rest. Yisur meilahim dvarim adarim lemlachos. They're compared to melachos. Or with dvarim shagozim behem shema yivo ayadam li the isur melacha shal Torah kfishu ram b'slenu. We're explaining in the Mishnah in the Mishnayos what the shvusim are, but they're basically rabbinic prohibitions to promote more rest on Shabbos. The next concept of after the shvus is the rabbinic prohibitions, is the muktza, right? Everyone knows about muktza. Isser muktza hanu dvarim she'asu chachamim l'tatlam Shabbos, things that you cannot move on Shabbos. Why not? Because they were not prepared before Shabbos. If you prepare, for example, a stone to be a door holder before Shabbos, then on Shabbos it's not muktzah because you've prepared it to be a door opener. But if you didn't prepare for anything, then it's muktzah, you can't move it. Shekinah Rav Torah says in the Torah, "V'hikinu eis asher yaviyu." You should prepare. When we can, kol davar she'eino mukhan, it's not prepared, hayu muktzah, it's muktzah on Shabbos. And it's asur l'tatal of Shabbos b'shem siag. You can't move it on Shabbos. Why? Because the rabbis made a siag, a fence, that a person shelo yavod al yidei avera shel isur Torah, that a person shouldn't come to do, you know, a Torah prohibition. It's like, you know, you have the Grand Canyon. Right, you can walk to the edge, you know, you're not doing anything wrong, but you might fall. So, you know, the workers there put a fence, you know, 50 feet before the edge, so that you don't go to the edge because they don't want you to fall off. So all these rabbinic prohibitions are there to prevent you from falling off the cliff and doing a Torah, you know, prohibition. Isser muktzah mitchalkam l'sugim shonim, there are different types of muktzah. There's muktzah machmas isser, there's Muktzah machmas iser. What does that mean? Could go in machshuri avoda. You've got like, you know, ochomri avoda. Things that are inherently asur to use. For example, a computer, right? Then you have muktzah machmas chasar and kis. Something that's muktzah because it costs a lot of money. You've got this expensive, you know, fancy. I don't know. We got this oak chess set. No, not chess, because that's a game, but something fancy, okay? So, and, you know, you're afraid it's going to break. But you have money. You have money. Money is a perfect example. So it's muktzah machmas chasar and kis, that's value of money. But that way, the makbul of his makbul, shlolish shtamish bo, he doesn't use it, ela tzorech b'lachta miyuchedas, he only uses it on very, very special occasions. Could go on here, sakin shel milah, perfect example. A moel's knife. You can't take a moel's knife and cut your challah with it. Because it's miyuchad, it's designed specifically for mila. Osheshchita, the knife of a shochet. You know, you can't say, hey, I'm going to cut the challah with it, because it's designed only to do shchita, and therefore it's muktzah on Shabbos. The next concept, muktzah machmas miyas. B'davar shedayitah shel adam bochelas bo. Mishum kach u'nimna b'negoa bo. Something which is disgusting. Yeah, you've got, you know, animal manure, or something like that. It's just gross, you don't want to touch it. So that's muktzah because it's miyas, so it's disgusting. And then you have muktzah machmas mitzvah. The dvar miyuchad l'kayim mitzvah shi'ef shel l'kayimah b'shabbos go and shofar lulav g'yotzeh bozeh. Something that you want to use on Shabbos for a mitzvah, like a shofar or a lulav. You have muktzah machmas mitzvah, tefillin. You don't put it on Shabbos. It's muktzah because of a mitzvah. So there's all these different categories of muktzah. And then you have muktzah machmas nolad. Kagon, beitzah, shenolad b'shabbos, or perish in Shabbos, Shabbos, v'chein yeshnam odes, sugim, k'fish, shenolam b'slenu. So, something which is born on Shabbos, your chicken gives birth, hatches, lays an egg on Shabbos, that egg is muktzah because it wasn't prepared before Shabbos. It was born on Shabbos. It's nolad, it's created on Shabbos. Or a fruit falls off from the tree. So, it wasn't off the tree before Shabbos, it fell off on Shabbos, nolad was born. So these things are prohibited. So you have muktzah machmas iser, muktzah machmas chisaron kis, muktzah machmas miyas, muktzah machmas mitzvah, muktzah machmas nolad, all these different kinds of muktzah. And again, baby steps. We're going to go through everything slowly and clearly. This is just an overall introduction to the entire Masechta. This will be the longest recording. Okay? We're almost done. Last paragraph. There are things that the sages prohibited on Shabbos. They're not compared to a malacha. They don't even bring you to malacha. Just so that person gives Shabbos the sanctity of that it's Shabbos and it's not a weekday. What are these things called? Yisur Mila Nikram Uvdin Dechol. Maisim Shechol. Weekday activities. But in love him, Mimash Nemar, we learn it from a pasuk in Yeshaya. Im Tashim Mishavas Raglachas Asos Chafasech Avyom Kachi, Vikaras Hashavas Oneg, Vigdosh Hashem Mechubad, Vikibatu Miasos Terechecha, Mim to Chefzcha Vidaber Dabar. So basically, from this pasuk, the sages darshan out, Vikibadato, you should honor it, Miasos Derechecha, from doing your ways. What does that mean? Shloye Hiluchach Mishavas Hiluchach Biyom Chol. Even the way you walk on Shabbos is not the way you walk during the week. Like, you don't jog. You don't go for a jog on Shabbos. Not necessarily that, you know, it's Isser, but it's just not in the spirit of the day. Or mimsu chefzecha. Shlo tasuk v'lo tetchane v'tachniyot v'shabas v'nyane chefzecha. You don't do things that you would normally do during the week, you know, on Shabbos. It's just not in the theme. And we're not going to get into all the nitty-gritty, but this is the idea. Or v'dabri davar. Even your speech, shlo yedibrecha v'shabas v'dibrecha b'chol. You don't speak the way you speak during the week on Shabbos. You don't speak about business on Shabbos. You don't speak about where you're going next week. You just focus on the day. You don't talk about, you know, the great, you know, you don't talk about things that are for the week on Shabbos. Shabbos is, today's God's day. Just rest, chill, and focus on the Shabbos. Last sentence, Kol Yisurim Alalu Osam Yisyom HaShabbos. All these Yisurim, we went over a lot of things just now. These all make up the day of Shabbos. Shabbos Shabbaton Kodesh Hashem is a holy day, a day of rest for Hashem. You know, God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh, and He wants us to do the same. He wants you to work during the week. He wants you to accomplish. But when come Shabbos, it's a day of rest. And the Yerushalmi says, God wants you on Shabbos and Yom Tov to learn His Torah, to enjoy Shabbos, to have good cholent, to have good beer, and to honor the day with the honor that's due to it. So, this is the initial introduction, and we're going to call it here. Tomorrow we'll begin our first Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, and we'll start our 10 minutes. Today was the intro, so I know we went over time, but tomorrow we'll get into our mode. Alrighty.